I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scottish Sun Football Podcast in association with William Hill. I'm Kenny Miller and I'm here with Colin Duncan, who's fresh from the annual SunSport Christmas night out. He's had his dip in the cryotherapy chamber, he's had his protein shake. How are you feeling this morning, Colin?
Well, maybe I haven't had quite a protein shake, but two rolls and sausage and a can iron brew and that sorted me out. Now, right as rain, Kenny.
Glad to hear it. Well, if you can think as far back as Friday night, Celtic ran out convincing 4-1 winners at Partick Thistle. Colin, I don't think anyone was surprised maybe by the 3 points going Celtic's way or the result. Can anyone in the league take any form of optimism or confidence going into games against Celtic just now?
It's just hard to see who's going to, you know, derail the Celtic juggernaut at the moment. You know, Thistle made our competitive for the first half an hour. You know, it was a decent game, even game. But as soon as Celtic got the first goal, you know, their tails are up, the confidence, you know, they're riding the crest of a wave at the moment. You know, everybody's wanting to get in the act and the scoring act. And I mean, they just steamrolled Partick Thistle as the game wore on. You know, Thistle really struggled to lay a glove on them, as you know, in the latter half of the match. And you know, Celtic have been very, very consistent. You know, they've played a consistently high level normally. You know, and Scott, you know, that even the teams at the top of the league, as Celtic did last season, there's a lot of dips. We're on a Dyla's team, but you don't see, that doesn't seem to be happening under Brendan Rodgers. You know, they're very, very consistent.
Gary McKay-Steven and Stuart Armstrong both made their Celtic debuts at Firhill. It went well for them that night, but they've kind of come the long road since. Did you expect either to be as prominent as they are just now?
I mean, there was a lot of publicity when they arrived from Dundee United at Celtic first time round, and I think, you know, probably maybe McKay-Steven made more of a immediate impact than Stuart Armstrong. But, you know, that as times wore on, you know, Gary McKay-Steven is a bit of trouble with injuries. He struggled to force his way back into the reckoning. Stuart Armstrong had to bide his time under Brendan Rodgers at the start of the season, but, you know, since he was given that opportunity, you know, 2-3 months ago, he's given an extended run in the side, and he's been one of the best players in Scotland over the past couple of months. You know, he's playing in his preferred position, you know, in the middle. You know, a lot of times before in his Celtic career, he was played out wide, and we weren't really seeing the best of Stuart Armstrong, but I think he's been exceptional this season. Really, really, really good, but he's playing in his position. He looks more comfortable in the middle of the park.
And Lee Griffiths made a triumphant return. I think one very well-taken goal and two assists. How does Brendan Rodgers keep him happy if, as you'd expect, he reverts back to Moussa Dembele?
Well, I mean, it just shows the embarrassment of riches he's got up front. When you've got a guy like Lee Griffiths who scored 40 goals last season, started this season well, he can't get into the Celtic team. You know, but it's hard to, you know, Brendan's got a winning system, the style of play he plays. He just can't shoehorn those two strikers into one berth, and it's just you know, when you're at a big club, that's just one of the pitfalls. Sometimes you're not going to play as often as you like. You know, you've seen it at Hibs this season. Your team, you know, with Jason Cummings, it's, you know, he hasn't been playing as often as you like. Lee Griffiths, it's another thing. It's just a case when you get your chance, you have to take it, and any chances that. Sparing chances that Lee Griffiths has had, he has taken them.
I think he's too good to be sitting wasting away on the bench. And if he fancies a trip to familiar surroundings, I'm sure Neil Lennon would welcome him with two open arms. Just to switch the focus to Partick Thistle briefly, they've obviously slumped to the bottom of the league, albeit they've got a game in hand, and there's only, I think, 2 points separating that entire bottom six. Where did Thistle go from here? I think I read a stat that if the game's finished at 85 minutes, they'd be mid-table. Where did Thistle go?
Yeah, I mean, at the start of this season, I tipped Partick to be to finish in the top half of the table this season. They've struggled to say, and lost a lot of late goals. You know, they lost Rangers, didn't them in a couple of weeks ago. You know, they've been playing well. They just seem to lack that killer instinct. I don't see them staying at the bottom of the table for much longer. I think they've got enough about them to get out of trouble. You know, they are bottom, but see, I think you're looking at the 4 points off the top six. A couple of wins and a spin it and you're out of trouble. I think Partick have got enough about them. I do like the manager. I think, you know, it's just, you know, teams, your Thistles, Inverness, Dundee, they seem to be taking it in turns to losing 3 or 4 in the spin, and then they get a much needed win and start climbing back up the table.
think across the city the following day. Rangers made light work of Hearts. I think we all expected this one to be a bit closer after the game at Tynecastle.
We were talking about how a tricky a time it was going to be for Mark Warburton, you know, with all these games. He had two games against Hearts, a game against Aberdeen, and he's got the Old Firm game to finish off the year. You know, this could be make or break for him. You know, he was under a bit of pressure. Went to Tynecastle last week, you know, and they were dreadful. One of the worst performances of the season. But to give them credit, you know, they turned it around. They got a much-needed win against Aberdeen. And from what I watched of the highlights on Saturday, you know, there was only one team in it. You know, there was all the hullabaloo and the fanfare about Ian Cathro's debut as manager beforehand. All the focus was on him and his team, and it seemed to affect him. You know, Hearts just didn't turn up. You know, you watched the game as well. You know, a very un-Hearts-like performance. They just didn't come close to Rangers.
Do you think some teams still have that fear factor going to Ibrox? Do you think they still play the venue sometime and not the team?
No, not as much, because we've seen a lot of teams, you know, go there and grind out draws against Rangers this season, and even like so Dundee and Motherwell pretty much matched, you know, sat camped in, made it hard for Rangers to get past them, and I think Rangers scored in the last minute of both those games. So but I don't think the fear factors were still there. I don't know what it was with Hearts. They just, you know, they were given how well and how easily they steamrolled Rangers on their own pitch, you know, virtually a week ago, to the team that turned up on Saturday. You know, you would have thought you were watching a completely different team. It was very bizarre.
Mark Warburton seems to have improved Rangers simply by adding Hodgson at right back. They look a bit more solid. Is that something you think you should persist with?
Yeah, I mean, he's Lee Hodgson's one of these kind of 7 out of 10 players, isn't every week. He was a good, solid, consistent performer at Kilmarnock. Anytime he's been given a start by Mark Warburton this season, he's been very reliable. He also just gives him that bit of solidity at the back. You know, the one thing that Taverney is great bombing forward. He does give you another option. He's got great pace, he's got a great engine, but defensively he's never been the strongest, and it's his positional play, I think, it lets him down more than anything else. You know, quite often he's in the wrong position, so therefore he's dragging his two centre-halves to cover for him, so then they get dragged out of position. I think that's why Rangers have lost a lot of goals in that way this season. But when you've got Hodgson, you know, his first instinct is to defend. You know, he is good going forward, and his use of the ball is very good as well, but his first instinct is to defend. So Rangers, any time that he's been in the team, they haven't been caught out as often. Teams haven't been able to get in behind him when he's been starting it. And also with the fact that James Taverney is so versatile, you know, you can push him further up the park, and I think that's probably where you'll see more of him as the season goes on.
And from a Hearts perspective, what does Ian Cathro have to do to get the laptop loyal like Robert Grieve and Chris Boyd off his back?
I mean, it's bizarre, you know, the amount of stuff that the column inches devoted to this guy. And I don't really see what the fuss about, you know, they're giving him. You know, he's served a good apprenticeship, he's a good coach, all right, he hasn't played at a high level. He's worked in Portugal, he's worked in Spain in the top league, he's worked at, you know, Newcastle, big club under Rafa Benitez, one of the best managers south of the border. The guy served his apprenticeship, let him get on with it. As he said, you know, there are going to be ups and downs. He's not a miracle worker. He's not going to come in and suddenly transfer, you know, Hearts are not going to start playing like Barcelona. That's just not going to happen. But, you know, he's going to take him time to get to implement his ideas and to get the team playing the way he wants him. But, you know, there's going to be bumps in the road. I think we should just kind of take the heat off him, let him get on with it for a couple of months, and, you know, and judge him at the end of the season, you know, once we've seen Hearts for 5-6 months, and then we can say, well, yeah, he's got something about him. But, you know, let's not make any knee-jerk reactions of how good or bad he's going to be.
Having said that, I'd like you to make a snap judgment. Having covered his unveiling at the press conference alongside his assistant, Austin McPhee, what kind of impression did you come away with?
Well, I was very impressed with the way you handled the whole thing. Obviously, that was all new to him. Being in the media spotlight, you know, everybody wanted a piece of him. And the way he thought he dealt with the broadcast media, the written media, his answer of the question, you know, didn't just give the stock answers that a lot of these people, you know, give when a microphones thrust in front of their face. No, I thought he was very composed, very assured. He came across very well and explained where he wanted to go, where he wanted to be, where they wanted to take the club. Yeah, you know, I say the proof will be in the pudding. Is, you know, results are the thing that are going to make or break him. But I mean, he certainly talked a good game, and I think Austin McPhee as well. He's assisting. You know, there's something different. You know, it's like they're a breath of fresh air. The thing I like, there was a lot of comment about, you know, the Austin McPhee's, you know, and what he turned up wearing and things, but that's what he is. You know, he didn't try and conform or be anything else. You know, what you see is what you get. He's not trying to be somebody else. He is, you know, he was himself. I like the fact that he didn't put on a shirt and tie because he's not comfortable wearing a shirt and tie. Spoke to him after it as well, and I was really, really impressed what he had.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To say as well.
Like Sun Sport on Facebook for all the Scottish football latest.
Will there be a degree of embarrassment within the SFA? There's no point in kidding otherwise. He was obviously their preferred candidate for the performance director post, and now he's gone to Hearts as assistant manager.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that say? You've been offered
theoretically one of the top jobs in the country.
The top job in the country, yeah. You know, as the performance director of Scotland. I mean, it's a huge title, very grand job, you know, to oversee, you know, the state of a game. Yet he feels that he doesn't want that. He would rather be assistant manager at Hearts. I find that very, very bizarre.
Do you think we'll hear that he wasn't the preferred candidate, and they always had a plan for someone else all along?
Oh well, I mean that's of course. I mean, it was nothing set in stone, but I mean, from what we can gather, it did look as if the job was Austin McPhee's if he wanted it. Turns out that he didn't, but I mean, if it goes to then Malky, I mean, I think Malky Mackay is an exceptional candidate. You know, I think if he is the man that takes over from Brian McClair, then I think we'll all be in safe hands. You know, I think Malky Mackay's got a great CV. I think he's got good ideas of where Scotland should be, and if you know, it could turn out to be a blessing in disguise if Malky gets the job.
You were at Motherwell for the stalemate with Kilmarnock. I don't know if you want to sum it up in more than one word.
There's not much to sum up. You know, the weekend, was it 7 of the 12 teams failed to score? You know, we're trying to sell a product, trying to get people and bums on seats, and you know, you get 3-0 draws, 7 teams not scoring. It's not a great argument. It wasn't the best weekend to sell Scottish football. You know, it seemed Motherwell the week before, 7-goal thriller against Celtic a couple of days before. Kilmarnock go to Aberdeen, get 5-1, you know, so you get 13 goals in the previous two games.
Is that to be expected from Motherwell? Mark McGee's making a lot of the number of youngsters they're throwing into the team. He threw another couple on with 20 minutes to go. The fans just need to accept they're going to be a bit Jekyll and Hyde.
It was just, I thought Motherwell were the better team. You know, Motherwell were the better team. They created the better chances, a couple of chances. The Lionel Ainsworth had a good chance, Louis Moult, and young boy Ross McLean, who played 45 minutes with a broken toe, so fair play to him. But yeah, I mean, Kilmarnock defended well, you know, after conceding 5 at Pittodrie. You know, they really tightened up at the back. Scott Boyd and William Boyle were good from the defensive point of view. Both managers were quite happy, but as an entertaining spectacle, it certainly wasn't up to much.
You can watch the goals from all the big SPFL games on the website at thescottishsun.co.uk/sport.
Just touching the top end of the Championship briefly, because I have a vested interest. Dundee United won away at Ayr, and I think Hibs were pretty unconvincing winners over Dumbarton. If you were to get a free bet from William Hill and you had to pick one of the two teams to go up, who would you go for?
It's a tight call, but I think there's more pressure on Hibs. I don't know if maybe that's what's going to what you know, that can maybe decide who actually goes to the top spot. The fact that Hibs, everybody expects Hibs to win. There's all the pressure on them to win, whereas Dundee United have almost a free run. You know, it's kind of a rebuilding job that Ray McKinnon's doing. They get less pressure and go about their business. And after a shaky start, they're getting results. By all accounts, they were dreadful against Ayr United at the weekend, but they still won, which is important. If you've got a gun to my head, I think I might just say Dundee United, simply because you know that the Hibs, as we've seen in the last couple of seasons, have really, really, really struggled just to get over the finishing line because of all the weight of expectation. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, by the flip side, I wouldn't be surprised if Hibs, you know, went up either.
It's a big month potentially for Hibs then in the transfer window.
That's the thing, you know, they've got a bit of clout. You know, you would, you know, if you're looking at the two teams, you know, I think Hibs probably got a bit more money to spend in Dundee United, so if they need to get out and strengthen it in January, then I'm sure that the board will back Neil Lennon, and I would expect to see two or three new players at Easter Road in come January.
There's a lot of talk about the same faces. Chris Commons has been linked again, Liam Henderson, Ryan Christie. If you were to take one of the three, if you were Neil Lennon,
I would probably take, well, I mean, Chris Commons, you know, how fit can Chris Commons be? When did he last kick a ball? That would be the thing, that his ability is without question, but it's fitness, and how long would he need to get up to speed? So if you're signing Chris Commons, you would imagine he'd take a good couple of months to get up to speed. Hibs afford to bed somebody in? I wouldn't think so. Liam Henderson did a terrific job when he was on there on loan last season at Easter Road. I thought he was a class apart most games in the Championship. Just a level above. But I would, if going for one of the three, I think I would go for Ryan Christie. I think he was terrific at Inverness. Did really well when any time he got a chance at Celtic. Just there's so many players in front of him, the queue now, it's so difficult for him to get any minutes. But I think I would take, you know, you're just looking for that creative spark, somebody that can create something out of nothing. And a lot of those tight Championship matches, that's what it comes down to. I'd probably take Ryan Christie.
Two teams in need of a creative spark. If the weekend's anything to go by, Aberdeen and Motherwell, they face off tomorrow night at Pittodrie. How do you see that one shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a total mixed bag for Aberdeen. You know, they lost the cup final, lost to Rangers, bounced back with a terrific performance against Kilmarnock, and then, you know, they were really, really quite fortunate to get a draw against St Johnstone. You know, Niall McGinn doesn't seem to be too firing on all cylinders. You know, like him and Johnny Hayes were so key for Aberdeen last season. You know, one on either side, creating trouble down both flanks. But Johnny Hayes has been okay. Niall McGinn's really, really struggled this season. He's not been very creative. He's not scoring many goals. Maybe needs a couple of weeks out the firing line. But it's hard to, you know, predict what you're going to get from Aberdeen. You know, given, you know, they're so good against Kilmarnock, yet have struggled in all their other games. But it's Motherwell, you know, the teams at the bottom of the table. It's the consistency element from them, you know, the back to back, and by all account there was quite a few players in the Motherwell camp were suffering from a flu virus at the weekend. Scott McDonald, Louis Moult played through that. You know, if that's taking an effect, you know, good through your squad, and then the last place you want to go up to is Pittodrie.
There's been a few grumps and groans directed Derek McInnes way. You think that's unfair?
Yeah, it's unfair. I mean, if you look at like Aberdeen in the last couple of seasons, they always go through a little bad blip. You know, I go through a blip, but they always manage to turn it round and get the club back on even keel. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these blips. I don't think there's anything. I don't understand, you know, how fans can be given Derek McInnes stick after they know what he's done for the club over the past two or three seasons.
Celtic hosting Hamilton, and you're going to surprise me and go for an away one.
No, I don't see Hamilton repeating their heroics a couple of seasons ago when Ali Crawford scored when they beat Celtic under Ronnie Dowie. You know, I mean, it's hard to see anybody getting close to Celtic, particularly at home. I think Celtic will win two or three quite easily tomorrow night.
How does he guard against complacency? There's been no evidence of it so far from Celtic. What do you think Brendan Rodgers does? Is it just competition for places, keeping everyone on their toes?
I think that because he has got such a strong squad, and we mentioned, we touched on Ryan Christie and Liam Henderson guys and Gary Mackay early, you know, guys who are just not coming close to getting into his starting lineup. You've got Lee Griffiths, you've got so many good players waiting in the wings, so that the guys who've got are in possession of the jersey need to be on top of their game every week, or their, you know, the place is going to be in jeopardy. So when you've got that, when you're winning as well, you know, it's easy to keep everybody happy when the results are going well. You know, if players are not playing, struggling to get in the team, and you're not, you know, winning, that's when the problems start. But when you're winning every single week, then it's a happy ship, you know. And you can tell that every time you speak to the Celtic players, any time you speak to Brendan, everybody's got a smile on their face. So that the competition for places should ensure that they know there's no complacency.
It's that time of year again where we have the annual, will Ali Crawford leave Hamilton? Questions, is he good enough? What kind of level should he be operating at? I mean, where do you stand on Ali Crawford? What level do you see him moving on to if he does?
I mean, I certainly think he's capable of playing for one of the teams at the top half of the Premiership. He's got the ability. You know, he's also, you know, people question his size and whether he's strong enough. But, you know, he's proved over the last 3 or 4 years that he's robust enough to stand up to playing in the Scotland's top flights. I don't see any problem why he can't get down to the Championship down south, you know, and do well down there. I do think he's got the ability, and it does surprise me that, you know, some of the teams haven't come in for him, but it's not going to do him any harm in the long run. We've seen it before, like, so your James McCarthy and your James MacArthur's that keep play for 3 or 4 seasons every week in, week out at Hamilton. Perfect, you know, it's the best apprenticeship you can serve, just playing games, getting as many matches under your belt as possible. His time will come, somebody will come in and take him, whether it's in this window or the next window, but I'm sure he will move on eventually.
Keep bang up to date with Scottish football by following SunSport on Twitter.
We'll look ahead to the weekend quickly. Friday night we've got Accies hosting Rangers. We've discussed probably both teams in depth, but Rangers have maybe struggled a wee bit on the road this year. Do you see that continuing at New Douglas Park? Tricky pitch?
Yeah, I was speaking to Rob Kiernan last week, and they certainly, they don't like playing in an AstroTurf. They made no secret of the fact, most of the Rangers players, that they don't like these plastic pitches. So, you know, when you've got that into your head beforehand, you know, it's always going to be tough. You know, they struggled at Kilmarnock earlier in the season. We've seen it before, you know, at Falkirk, you know, when they played at Falkirk last year. Hamilton's a tough place to go. You know, nobody really, really goes to Hamilton and turns them over. I think they've taken the lead more, you know, apart from Celtic, Hamilton have taken the lead more games than any other side this season. Yeah, they've struggled to hold on to them, but, you know, that's going to be a tough, tough ask for Rangers on Friday night. They will be delighted to come away with any sort of result.
Following day, Celtic host Dundee. More of the same, or can you see Paul Hartley's men putting up any sort of resistance?
No, I can't really.
Is that as simple as that?
No, as simple as that. I can't really see, you know, Celtic losing at home to Dundee. Yeah, Dundee have been better in the last couple of weeks. They've really tightened up. But no, I think Celtic have too much for them.
Ian Cathro's Hearts host Partick Thistle. Thistle in desperate need of a win, but do you see Cathro getting off the mark?
Yeah, well, it's a vital game. His first home game in front of his own supporters. It wasn't the ideal start, as we touched on earlier at Ibrox on Saturday, so he really, really needs to get a win. If he gets a first win under his belt, then a lot of the talking and the debate will stop, you know, and as you say, what we mentioned earlier, will be able to just get on with his job. All of a sudden he loses his first two games, everybody starts questioning, oh, is this the right appointment or not, you know, and people do judge, yeah, rush to knee-jerk reaction. So, but Hearts have been good at home. He'll have an extra week to work with these players and get his ideas across. Thistle are struggling for confidence at the bottom of the league. You would expect Hearts to win this one.
What does Cathro and Craig Levein have to do in January? I mean, going by the weekend, they need 10 new outfield players, but I presume he'll get them going before then. But ideally, what does he need?
I mean,
a left back maybe for starters.
Yeah, he maybe needs a left back. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, go back to his old club in Newcastle and try and get a couple of loan signings from there. You know, they've got one of the biggest squads in the Championship. They're going well. They're clear at the top. You know, they've got a lot of players. There's a lot of players not getting any football. So I would expect that would be in Cathro's first port of call to go back and speak to his old boss Rafa Benitez and see what kind of, you know, he'll know that squad better than anybody else. You know, if there's anybody it's going to be a good fit for Hearts. So I think that's, you know, what we could maybe expect when the window opens in January.
Inverness Cali Thistle are down the road at Kilmarnock, who have got their freshly installed cryotherapy chamber at Rugby Park. Can that make all the difference for them?
After losing so heavily at Aberdeen, you know, they did well. You know, it wasn't the greatest game, but they did well against Motherwell on Saturday. And I've watched Kilmarnock 3 or 4 times in the last few weeks. And apart from the Aberdeen game, they seem to be kind of gelling more as a team. You know, Lee Clark brought in an entire new squad of new players in the summer. It was always going to take them time to gel. I think they are starting to gel. Jordan Jones is starting to produce the goods. Nathan Tyson hasn't scored a goal, but he just really, you know, he's a good focal point for the attack. He's good at bringing other players into the equation. Greg Taylor's really come on this season. You know, there were Scott Boyd's, you know, helped him at the back. They've got a good keeper. I think Kilmarnock are one of the teams that are, you know, that could nip that top six spot. I think they'll be much better in the second half of the season. Inverness are, you know, they're really struggling under Richie Foran. They're not scoring goals, they're not winning matches. You know, I can see them being one of the teams that are down the bottom, you know, over the course of the season and struggling to stay in the top flight.
Right, two more fearless verdicts and you can get back to your sick bed. Pick me a winner from Ross County, Aberdeen and St Johnstone, Motherwell.
Ross County, Aberdeen, I think Aberdeen will win. And St Johnstone, Motherwell, by all accounts, St Johnstone were unlucky not to take all 3 points at Pittodrie on Saturday. Motherwell got the game of extra game in midweek as well, which is going to count against them, especially if they've got a bit of a flu virus in the camp. Yeah, St Johnstone to win there.
Thanks for joining us here on the Scottish Sun Football Podcast in association with William Hill. Back soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.